take your Bibles, please. Turn to one of my very favorite psalms, Psalm 90. Psalm 90. I'm going to be speaking to the graduates this morning, but the rest of you can listen in because it's for you as well. Psalm 90. We say to the graduates, congratulations. You've looked forward to this time for a long time. You've wanted to be a certain age, and now you are that age, whatever it is, 19 or 23 or whatever it is. I came across a gentleman's view of age. His guy's name is George Carlin, and here's what he says about it. Do you realize that the only time in our lives when we like to get old is when we're kids? If you're less than 10 years old, you're so excited about aging that you think in fractions. How old are you? Oh, I'm 4 and a half. You're never 36 and a half, but you're 4 and a half. Going on 5. That's the key. And when you get into your teens, he says, now you can't hold back. You jump to the next number, even far ahead of that. How old are you? We're going to be 16. You might only be 13, but you're going to be 16. And then the greatest day of your life, you become 21. Even the words sound ceremonious. I'm 21. But then you turn 30. Kind of like bad milk or something. It turns. And that's no fun. What's wrong? What's changed? Well, you become 21, you turn 30, and then you're pushing 40. Put on the brakes. It's all slipping away. And before you know it, you reach 50. Your dreams are gone. But wait a minute. You make it to 60. You didn't think you would. So you become 21, you turn 30, you push 40, you reach 50, and you make it to 60, and you've built up so much speed, you hit 70. And after that, it's a day-by-day thing. You hit Wednesday. When you get into your 80s, you hit lunch. You turn 4:30, and you reach bedtime. And then when you're in the 90s, you start going backwards. I was just 92. Then you make it over 100, and you get to start over again. I'm 100 and a half. You know, there eventually comes a point when you stop thinking about how old you are, and you start thinking about how much time you have left. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. At some time in your life, soon, you're going to look out into the future and you're going to sense there's a finish line there. There's an invisible expiration date that's stamped on the heel of your left foot. You're going to start thinking seriously about the end of your life. I went to a website where you can put in your age and your weight and your body mass and all that stuff, and it calculates when you're going to die based upon averages. And I learned that July 18, 2021 is going to be a pretty rough day for me. Now, but it's that sounds so soon, but that's based on the averages. It's only 50%, you know, it's 50% of folks reach that. And then, so you could be, I mean, I might die before then, so I could be below or I could be above. I don't know. I'm not sure. Psalm 90 has a lot to say about time. And I want us to think seriously for these few moments. I know that you're thinking about time right now. You're thinking about the time when I will be finished with this sermon. And some of you are going to sneak out your little device and you're going to check it in a little while. And you're going to put it back. That's okay. I will keep time myself. I have an hourglass right here. I'm going to turn it over. That's a 60-minute hourglass. Don't worry, I will not go by that. This psalm, Psalm 90, most scholars believe that this is a psalm of not David, but of Moses, as he contemplates looking back on the many, many years, the four decades that he traveled through the desert with bunches and bunches of people trying to lead them. They went through their good times and their bad times. Let me read to you this psalm as you follow along in your Bibles. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, and in the evening it's cut down and withers. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. He's remembering how many times God had to chastise them in the wilderness. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. All our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. That's what you call an obituary, a tale that is told, a little piece in the newspaper. The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they are be 80 years, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So, Lord, please teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of our Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. This psalm of Moses is a wonderful reminder that we're just not always going to be here on this earth. It compares the bigness of God and the smallness of man. It compares the eternity of God with our little existence, our little capsule that we call time. If you'll notice in verse 4, it says, 1,000 years in God's sight are as but yesterday. It doesn't mean that 1,000 years equals a day. I know some people try to do that with prophecy. That's not what it's saying. If they are, then they have to keep on going and say that 1,000 years are like a watch in the night. A watch in the night is about 3 hours. The point of this, and it's using two illustrations, 1,000 years as yesterday, or as a watch in the night. Boom, they're gone. They are there, and then they're gone. With God, it's different. Verse 5, thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning, they are like grass which grows up. Those years, those 1,000 years, they're like, well, you got up, and where did time go? I mean, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours went by and it was gone. That quick. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about the rapidity with which time is taken from us. Like a sleep. like the grass. You go out and you mow the grass, and maybe you let it get too long, which sometimes we do. And when you first cut it, it's still green, but come back a couple hours later, and it's already dry. It's dead. It's dead, and it turns brown. That's what he's saying. That quick are 1,000 years in God's sight. God in God's sight. God is an eternal being. Now, there's two kinds of eternal. There's eternal life, and there's eternal existence. We need to differentiate the two. Eternal life is what you and I have if we've trusted Christ as Savior. We will live forever with the Lord. That's eternal life. Eternal existence is what God has. That's different. He had no beginning. There is no time when God, the eternal God, was conceived as God himself. Yes, Jesus was born into this world. He became a man, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the existence of God from all eternity. Habakkuk, pleading with God, said these words, "Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One?" And then the psalmist said in Psalm 102, "O my God, thy years are throughout all generations. Of old thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. The heavens shall perish, you will endure. All of things will grow old, they'll wear out like a garment. And as a vesture you will change them, and they shall be changed. But you are the same, and your years have no end." Jesus, revealing himself to the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos, said these words, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." God has always been. He's different than we are. We have eternal life. He has eternal existence. One person described it this way: God has duration without beginning or end. He has existence without bounds or dimension. He has a present without a past or a future. His eternity is youth without infancy or old age. Life without birth or death. Today without yesterday or tomorrow. Now, I know our minds are blowing fuses here. I understand that, because God is infinite and we are finite. But the point is this: God has always been. Christian Missionary Alliance pastor many years ago, back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, A.W. Tozer, said these things, commenting on the phrase, "From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." Here's what he said: "From the vanishing point to the vanishing point would be another way to say it, quite in keeping with the words as Moses used them. The mind looks backward in time until the dim past vanishes, and then turns and looks into the future till thought and imagination collapse from exhaustion. God lives in an everlasting now. He has not passed nor future. God is uncreated. He is not affected by that succession of consecutive changes that we call time, those changes that you noticed when you looked in the mirror this morning." Tozer didn't say that, I did. "God dwells in eternity, but time dwells in God. He has already lived all of your tomorrows, and he has lived all of our yesterdays." We're different than that. We're different than that. We have duration with a beginning and an ending. We have an existence with dimensions and bounds. We have a present, but we have a past, and we have a future. We have age, but we have youth and old age. We have life, but along with that, we've had a birth, and we will have a death. We enjoy today, but we had a yesterday, and we'll have it tomorrow. Not so with God. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is who God is. Just think about it. Does anybody have any idea what happened 1,000 years ago? I mean, does anybody? I've got a list of things here. In 1127, China divided into two empires. I'm sure you got that one right off, didn't you? 1234, the Mongols conquered China. 1380, Grand Prince of Moscow defeated the Mongols. This one you might get. 1454, Gutenberg used movable type to print the Bible. This one you ought to get because we've been preaching about it. 1517, Luther attacked 95 theses to the Wittenberg Church. I mean, that's 500 years. Does any, all of that, in God's eyes, is like a mist. Just there and then gone. I want to try my best to impress upon you a main lesson that comes from this. Look at verses 9 and 10. Our days are passed away. Look at verse 10. The days of our years are 70 years. That's 60, 70. And by reason of strength, maybe 80. That's all we get. That's all we get. We need to be reminded of that. Next to the hourglass there, I have a picture of me and my grandfather, and I am holding that teddy bear. You say, Pastor, you had a teddy bear? No, I have a teddy bear. That is my teddy bear. And that teddy bear is some 60 years old. It looked like it got run over by a truck. It fell apart so much my mama had to put pants on it. So that's what you can see there, trousers. When I was 7 years old, I took that to the hospital with me to get my tonsils out. And my teddy bear had an eye missing. And when I woke up, there was a patch on his eye. And I took the patch off and a nurse had sewed a button there. Ain't that sweet? Pastor, yes, that's my teddy bear. At one, and you can see my picture there with my grandfather on my mother's side, and now his bones are probably dust. The point is this. One of these days, if the Lord doesn't come, you're going to be looking back at 60 or 70 years or more, and you're going to be saying, where did the time go? Like somebody said, I didn't realize it took so little time to get old. It does. It does. One of two things will often come out when I'm visiting old people. One of them is this. Why am I still here? I've heard that a number of times. Just the other day, I was visiting a sweet lady in the hospital. And she said something like this. Where did the time go? She's in her 90s. What do we learn from this? Here's the big main point I want you to think about right here. In the wisdom of God, your earthly lifespan is very, very short. In the wisdom of God, your earthly lifespan is very, very short. God uses the brevity of your life as compared to Him and to eternity to draw your attention to His transcendence, to draw your attention to His majesty and almightiness and His greatness, His immutability, His infinite self. And those thoughts are designed by God in the Scriptures to humble you and sober you. Because as you are humbled and you are sobered, you are more likely to fit in with God's plan for your life. And so in the wisdom of God, your lifespan is short. But there's something else. Let me read to you a few verses from the Old Testament. Ecclesiastes 3, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. Nathan told David, the prophet Nathan came to David and said, David, when your days are fulfilled and you sleep with your fathers, then I'm going to do some things after you. But you have certain days. The psalmist, with confidence, said these words in Psalm 31, "My times are in thy hand." And Job, in all of his struggles, when he was hurting so badly and praying to God, he said these words in Job 14, "Lord, man's days are numbered. The number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass." There's a sense from Scripture that God has a time for you, and when that time is finished, you're finished. And in the sovereignty of God, your time is limited. I said, in the wisdom of God, your lifespan is short, and in the sovereignty of God, your time is limited. God gives you your very next breath. He permits and allows your next heartbeat. Both of these truths are humbling. Most of the graduates, I know you're not thinking about getting old. I know that. But I'm going to try to get you to think about it anyway. And there's a reason for it. I want you to be humbled in the presence of God. But there's another truth that I want to share briefly. And this truth is not only humbling, but it's challenging. In the mercy of God, your life is full of meaning. It is meaningful. It is important. You know, when you start thinking about the bigness of eternity, the expanse of the universe, and then you bring it back down to your little freckle in this vast universe, and that's all you are. Some people allow that thought to say, whatever, what's the use? I had a friend in high school before I was saved. He was an existentialist. He wrote poetry, and very depressed type of a man. He believed that he was nothing more than a perverse gathering of corpuscles, and that was it. I was looking at some existential poetry in preparation for this message, and I found one by a gentleman, Charles Bukowski, a sad comment and commentary on life without meaning, without God. Listen to these sad words. "Mind and heart, unaccountably, we are alone, forever alone. And it was meant to be that way. It was never meant to be any other way. And when the death struggle begins, the last thing I want to see is a ring of human faces hovering over me. I don't want to see people while I'm dying. I'd rather just see my old friends, the walls of myself. Let only them be there. I have been alone but seldom lonely. I have satisfied my thirst at the well of myself. And that wine was good and the best I ever had. And tonight, sitting staring into the dark, I now finally understand the dark and the light and everything in between. Peace of mind and heart arrives when we accept what is. Having been born into this strange life, we must accept the wasted gamble of our days and take some satisfaction in the pleasure of leaving it all behind. Cry not for me, grieve not for me, read what I have written, and then forget it all. Drink from the well of yourself and begin again." The Scriptures say that your life is not a wasted gamble of days. The scriptures say that your life is a gift from God, and in the mercy of God, your life is full of meaning. Years ago, I read about a remote tribe of people that elected a chief every year, a different chief, and for that year, things were really good for the chief. He could have all the wine, women, and song. He was the ruler. He was everything. At the end of the year, they take him out to the edge of the village and kill him and get another one. How many would like to be chief? I imagine they had a pretty good security team getting close to the end of that year. So, because the chief was going to leave town. You know what? There are a lot of people, young people and adults, and you see your life as yours where you can do what you want and you are like that chief. But at the end of your days, it will be the end of your days. Your life is measured in the sovereignty and wisdom of God. Your life is measured. And I would say to the graduates, don't waste it. It's full of meaning. And it will be even more full as you give yourself to God and love Him and live for Him, whatever you do, whether you're a plumber or a pilot or whatever. Your life has eternal purpose. You're not a perverse gathering of corpuscles that are going to disperse when your body disintegrates. You are an eternal being. You had a beginning, but you will never have an ending. And if you are a born-again Christian, your life is hidden with Christ in God. And you will have no regrets if you love Him as you ought and live for Him as you ought. And some of us old people, we can tell you, we have regrets. And we're hoping that you won't make some of the same dumb mistakes that we've made. There's no delete button. There's no erase function on our lives. We all have the same 24-hour day. We're all in the hands of God. And we are all responsible to God to obey what He says and to live for Him and love Him. And when we are doing that, we are happy people. It is a blessed thing to know and to love God. And there are people in this world that do not know and that do not love God, and many of them are very happy, but their happiness is very short, very limited, not going to be around long, and then they're going to meet that eternal God who holds them responsible for what they did with our Lord Jesus Christ. Either accepting Him or rejecting Him. To the graduates, I would say, don't waste your life. Don't waste this afternoon. Don't waste tomorrow. Don't waste next year. These are incremental portions of your life. Don't waste your life. Invest it. Be God-centered and others-centered. Love God with all of your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Wow. Very simple. Very simple. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I hope that our graduates will take this psalm to heart and live in the light of eternity and have the prayer in their hearts that's found in verse 12. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful that you have given us this time, this little capsule that we're living in right now. We're living, we're breathing, our hearts are beating, our bodies are functioning, and yet we're conscious of the reality that someday we will leave this realm of time and move into the realm of eternity. Oh God, may we live in the light of that huge reality. For the glory of God and the good of others around us, may we share the gospel. May we live lives of godliness and kindness and gentleness and sacrifice. May we live lives in the light of your presence with us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.